From the Ozark Folk Encyclopedia under You, The Unknown Man. In the volume for You, Rayburn has filed a clipping from the Arkansas Democrat for January 29, 1950, illustrated with a photograph of a man overlooking a scenic, presumably Ozark, vista. The essay, entitled Land of the Unknown Man, is pure Rayburn, a mixture of romanticism and populism, strong on lyrical description, if somewhat weak in logic. For him, the unknown men of the Ozarks represent the bedrock of civilization. As proof of this, he offers two examples of Ozark hospitality. Here is his essay. Giovanni Papini, the Italian philosopher, wrote the following tribute to the unknown man. We are, in general, too much inclined to attribute importance to all that has a name or is legitimized by a signature. Most of what we call civilization has been produced by people of whose lives and personalities we know absolutely nothing. The fairest fancies, the most enduring phrases, the fundamental inventions, are the work of the unknown man to whom historians give no heed. I recently discovered the unknown man in the Ozarks. His home in the back hills is a perfect example of rural independence. I had left the broad highway and was walking along trails that were clean and pungent, traveling perhaps 10 miles into the very heart of the forest. Suddenly, there in a fertile cup of the hills lay a farm. The fields, lush with grain, seemed an Eden in the forest primeval. I walked toward a group of buildings and found a large house with a spacious veranda and a cozy fireplace. Contented cows, symbols of Arcadia, stood knee-deep in lusty grass. Hens sang in joyous discord, and talkative geese swam in the clear stream. With this rural family, I ate a dinner of victuals from the well-flavored earth, cornbread and untreated milk, vegetables cooked in their own juices, dried apple pie fried to a golden brown, fruits with the sun in them. Here was the folklore of the Ozarks in its most complete simplicity. Men might envy and hate and struggle in the outside world, but here was sweetness and light that almost defied description. This family belongs to the landed aristocracy of backwoods America. The Anglo-Saxon tradition is their heritage. They are content with the living the earth provided. This is the unknown man of the Ozarks. Rayburn adds to his own experience the report of the humorist Joel Sloper in a book, Human Nature, published in 1888. Sloper's hillbilly, with his crude grammar and accent, doesn't come close to the Anglo-Saxon aristocracy of the backwoods, but his hospitality and his wife's cooking must have appealed to Rayburn. This, then, is Sloper's account of his encounter with an earlier unknown man. To the ordinary Eastern man, the Arkansas squatter is an enigma, but to the Southerner or Southwestern man, he is a good, reliable, hospitable old citizen. The typical squatter is suspicious of the man who approaches by the front entrance, and he is uncommunicative and facetious to him. But if he climbs over the back fence and comes through the corn patch, even the dogs are not so much inclined to bite him. I enjoyed the confidence and hospitality of one of Arkansas's landed proprietors, a lord of the soil who owned nearly 13 acres of land. Rigged out for a hunt, with gun, coonskin cap, and a squirrel hung on my belt, I approached from the rear. I could see the lord of the soil chopping wood by the front fence, if a three-rail enclosure could be so dignified by the name, and keeping the big log chimney between us until I stood behind it at the end of the house, I gave a low whistle, and when he looked up, I held up a flask of the best old bourbon and motioned for him. He understood, and dropping his axe and keeping an eye out for the red-headed old woman in the house, He soon stood behind the shelter of the chimney and whispered, "How do, neighbor? Where do you hail from?" "I'm from old Kentuck," shaking hands and handing him the flask. The land of Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett was all right, and I followed up the flask with a long plug of tobacco and said, "Have a chaw, neighbor." "Come right in the house," said he, "and give the old woman a chaw, but don't let her see the flask." "I'm glad you come, neighbor. I'm out in powder and caps, and I reckon you can divide." I was solid again. If I had had a breech loader, I'd have been a stranger and an alien, but my ammunition was all right for the old rifle of our daddy's, and I divided. "Now, neighbor, the old woman's got dinner ready, and after we eat, we'll go out and bring in some squirrels and turkeys and maybe a deer." This settled the question of hospitality, and I stayed with the old squatter a week. We hunted and fished and spun old-time yarns, and at night his old woman, as he called her, would put the big old-fashioned skillet on the coals, and with hot embers on the flanged lid, fry squirrels and fish to a delicious brown that could not be excelled in any kitchen in the United States. And of all the hunting vacations I've had in late years, the one spent with the Arkansas squatter was the pleasantest.